Hi, it's Tim here. Over the next 2 weeks, we will bring you 4 episodes that I recorded for the journal Economic Policy, Papers on European and Global Issues. So there's different music, but as you would expect, house-making topics and innovative research.
The response of both the nominal and the real exchange rate to a tariff shock depends on this structural trade policy uncertainty measure.
I've just looked it up, and when tariffs go up in the US, the dollar goes up too. Or does it? My guests today have some news for us. Welcome to a series of podcasts featuring the papers that were commissioned for the second Economic Policy Papers on European and Global Issues conference held in June 2026. I'm Tim Phillips. If tariffs are now a central feature of economic policy everywhere, we need to understand what changes when tariffs move and how. Tommaso Monacelli and Alfonso Merendino of Bocconi University have been investigating the relationship between tariffs, uncertainty, and the exchange rate, and discovered why the textbook predictions often don't quite match reality. They join me now. Hello, Tommaso.
Hello, Tim.
And hello, Alfonso, as well.
Hello.
Tommaso, what's the logic behind that assumption that the dollar rises when US tariffs rise?
Yeah, so this is a so-called textbook assumption or prediction in international economics and international trade, a prediction that has been long held, that if a country imposes a tariff, in this case, we talk about the US, of course, that should lead to a strengthening of the currency. So in this case, an appreciation of the US dollar. And the bare logic is simple. Think of a tariff as a tax, okay? So if you are a US importer and you import cheese from France, so now this cheese will cost more because on top of the price, a tariff will be imposed. So that means that demand will move away from French cheese, let's say American cheese, if any, or if good enough, okay? And so that means that U.S. importers of cheese will need less euros to import the cheese from France into the U.S. So in relative terms, that means that it will shift their demand of currency more towards the U.S. dollar, and this will strengthen and push up the value of the dollar in nominal terms when currencies are involved. In real terms, the story goes in principle the same, and that it means that if French cheese is more expensive now, the demand of consumers will shift towards U.S.-produced cheese, again, if any. And so this will push up the price of American cheese. And so that will make U.S. prices of this good in general higher than French prices. And we economists call this a real appreciation of the exchange. So this is the textbook elementary logic and the textbook and elementary prediction that one would expect from an increase in tariff.
Alfonso, why do we worry about this? Why does the direction of the move in the exchange rate matter economically?
The direction of the move of the exchange rate matters for the broader economy spillover effects that having a different price of domestic goods in foreign currency will have on the economy. So if the dollar appreciates, as we were making before the case, then this means that US goods sold in dollars will be more expensive for foreigners, and therefore this will dampen exports. At the same time, again, on the spillover effects that we were mentioning before, this will also facilitate more imports. So I would say that since there are second round effects of a change in the exchange rate, then this also affects other quantities and prices in the economy.
Okay, so the recent tariff shock that everyone remembers, partly because it was such a shock, was a Liberation Day. It's a good test of the textbook assumption. Is this what happened to the exchange rate on Liberation Day?
The short answer is no. Since April 2025, when the world trade order was shocked by this sweeping increase in tariffs imposed by the Trump administration, the dollar started depreciating. Actually, the dollar losing value is a phenomenon that started months earlier than Liberation Day, let's say January 25. This is not surprising because exchange rates are so-called very forward-looking variables. So they react in expectations of events that are perceived as likely in the future. And so Trump had been talking about imposing tariffs for a long time, even during the presidential campaign.
We're doing tariffs on other countries. Other countries are going to finally, after 75 years, pay us back for all that we've done for the world.
I'm going to immediately impose a 25% tariff on everything they send in to the United States of America.
And so the dollar started sliding, losing value since January 25 in anticipation of tariffs, and then it continued to slide after Liberation Day, so very much against the textbook prediction that we described. So that's what motivated our research, that puzzling behavior, especially for us working in the area of international macroeconomics and finance, actually motivated our interest. What could explain that behavior of the dollar, of the exchange rate, and whether maybe some chapters of a traditional textbook in international economics had to be rewritten so based on this puzzling behavior of the exchange rate.
Okay, well, let's try and solve this puzzle then. You have analyzed in this work the role of structural trade policy uncertainty, STPU, you call it. What are we talking about here? What is this?
Structural trade policy uncertainty is basically, as per our definition, the uncertainty over the persistence of a tariff regime. So by trade policy uncertainty, we just refer to the broader terms that captures all the uncertainty that refers to trade policy. Indeed, then structural trade policy uncertainty is just the component that is not resolved at tariff implementation.
For example, in 2017, the US withdrew the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Pact. Then at that point, this completely reshuffled, reorganized trade relations between the US and other countries. And at that point, we see our measure of structural trade policy uncertainty really spiking at an all-time high. And this is to give you a sense of what are the conditions under which, you know, households, firms, and market participants really change the regime under which they perceive information about trade policy and make their expectation about the future tariff policy regime.
What's your intuition here? Why did you look into this? How might the level of uncertainty change the way the currency moves in response to a change in tariffs?
We thought that it would be important to distinguish between, let's say, two types of uncertainty related to the imposition of tariffs, right? So I think the example with the second Trump administration was particularly enlightening because uncertainty about whether, you know, Trump was serious or not, uncertainty about whether announcements of sometimes crazy trade policy steps, like announcements of imposing 100% tariffs on China that then were very quickly retreated. We wanted to distinguish between this, so announcements, very noisy, sometimes used just as a threatening device in political negotiations, a type of uncertainty that, as Alfonso was mentioning before, is quickly resolved at implementation because, you know, maybe Trump would announce on Twitter that he would impose 100% tariffs on China. But then once the true tariffs are imposed, people understand that it was just a cheap talk by the president. We wanted to distinguish that uncertainty that is resolved at implementation with, you know, a more structural underlying uncertainty about the overall trade policy regime, right? So people may became, during the first Trump administration, all of a sudden much more uncertain of the direction of the international trade policy and the role of the U.S. along the international production value chains. And so they started shifting their perception of where the trade policy of the US was going. And so we wanted to measure this. And actually, as Alfonso was mentioning, we came to the conclusion that from our measurement, that this structural increase in trade policy uncertainty was mostly a feature of the first Trump administration trade policy, whereas much less of the second Trump administration, so following the announcement of Liberation Day, in the sense that the perception by firms and agents was that a lot of that uncertainty was related to these noisy announcements, but not to a fundamental change in trade policy regime, which had already sort of happened during the first Trump administration. And so that's the first result. But in general, right, we speculated that a change in the structural element of trade policy uncertainty could affect the value of the currency because uncertainty about the trade policy regime implies expectations about how exports and imports will actually behave in the future, right? And so agents today, in anticipation of future trade balances or imbalances or surpluses or deficits, would actually decide today either to borrow more against that future trade surpluses or borrow less against the future trade deficits. And so this would impair and affect the value of the currency today.
Uncertainty about trade policy seems to me to be a very difficult, a very slippery value to measure. How do you capture STPU so you can test this assumption?
Yeah, capturing STPU for us was a challenge. What we did basically was resorting to an econometric technique that starts from the series of tariffs, so just the time series of tariffs from 1990 till today, and then divides this series into two parts, one part that is more volatile and one part that, as Tomato said, was more sticky. Mm-hmm. And then what we did was to assume that each of these two parts had its own variance and that these variances change over time. Then we measured structural trade policy uncertainty as the variance of the structural sticky component of a tariff policy.
The structural element of that is extremely important for the way that you're thinking about this.
Exactly, exactly.
So you wanted to test your model. For what period are you able to test it? How much data do you have? And I suppose if you're testing it for tariff shocks, how do you identify what a tariff shock is?
Yeah, so the period we look into starts in 1990 until basically the quarter of Liberation Day. We focused on that period for two reasons. One is data availability, so of this index of tariffs that was actually compiled by other colleagues in the profession. So in that, we did not innovate. But we wanted to focus on that period for a second reason. So starting in 1990, so it sort of acknowledged that the world trade order changed. Okay, relative to the previous two decades, right? So the beginning of the 90s is the period where the so-called globalization starts, where China enters the WTO, the World Trade Organization. And so the structure of international trade takes the form that lasted until today. We were worried to analyze our question going back too far in time, because again, let's say the 1970s, the 1980s, and so the world trade order, how trade was organized and trade policy was implemented during those decades was very different, right? So we wanted to work within a regime that we meant and we deemed as stable and homogeneous over time.
So the question is, do we have to rewrite the textbooks? What did you find out about the relationship between tariffs, STPU, and the exchange rate?
The response of both the nominal and the real exchange rate to a tariff shock depends on the underlying state of the economy, which is pinned down by this structural trade policy uncertainty measure. While in periods of low, stable trade policy uncertainty regime, we can call them normal times, a tariff shock has the textbook predictions. If the US were to impose an import tariff in normal times, then this would result into a dollar appreciation. This textbook prediction is reversed in periods of high trade policy uncertainty. The tariff shock acts as a signal for more than the simple tariff movement. It's more than a simple increase in import prices, and this actually depreciates the dollar.
And can we say anything about other indicators, other macroeconomic variables, and the way that they respond conditional on the level of uncertainty?
Measuring and providing evidence on the effects of empirically on the effects of tariffs on the macroeconomy is not an easy question to tackle. This is a question that has been neglected in macroeconomics for a long time because the effect of tariffs has always been thought as being not relevant for the whole economy, right? Because typically tariffs are imposed on specific goods imported from specific countries in specific sectors. Whereas the last episode of tariffs under the second Trump administration, actually, the fact that these tariffs were sweeping on many different countries and many different goods rendered this phenomenon as generally a macroeconomic phenomenon. And so it is of independent interest beyond the exchange rate to understand. So if tariffs are raised in such a significant way across a large number of countries and goods, right? What are the macroeconomic implications on economic activity, on inflation, on investment, and so on? And so we contributed to this question with our own econometric technique. So here, the technical details are not that important, but we generally found that the tariffs are bad for the economy. So for the macroeconomy, in the sense that they generally decrease economic activity, we mean GDP, investment. So the idea that a country can revamp growth in a way by imposing tariffs, which is an idea that, again, in its essence is very simple, right? If I impose tariffs on goods imported from Europe, I am the US. So now American consumers are going to start demanding goods that are produced in the US, right? And this is going to be good for the US economy. Again, here there is a sort of a, I wouldn't say textbook prediction, but again, a presumption.
It's a simple logic, isn't it? Yeah, it sort of makes sense if you don't think too hard. Yeah,
exactly. But it was very much behind the rhetoric of the Trump administration.
Oh, yes.
So we can boost the economy via tariffs. But looking at the more historical data and in a general way, we actually do not find any of this positive effect on the economy. So GDP falls, investment falls persistently, actually. So whereas the effect on inflation is mixed. At the beginning, inflation, against sort of a conventional wisdom, tends to fall. The idea is that, again, here, the typical logic is that tariffs are inflationary, right? Because you increase the price of imported goods and that, let's say, French cheese in US supermarkets, and this contributes to higher inflation. But this is only one effect, right? Because if economic activity slows down, investment slows down, industrial production slows down as a result of higher tariffs, right? This also brings prices down, right? This is what we call the negative demand effect. Economic activity depresses prices because people with lower economic activity, they have less money to spend, and so prices fall. So at the beginning, even on the overall economy, the effect of tariffs that we measured in the data is surprising. The tariffs are both contractionary for economic activity and deflationary when it comes to prices.
So now that tariff movements seem to be everyday policy and not just in the US either, and bearing in mind what you said about tariffs' effect on the wider economy and how that also surprises the simple logic that we have heard from policymakers, do they need to think more carefully about these tariff shocks and their impact on the economy?
Definitely. And I would add that it's not just about thinking more about the tariff per se, but also thinking about in which environment these tariffs are imposed. This is the main underlying message also of this work, that tariffs that are imposed in a stable trade policy environment where there's no doubt about how solid and long-lasting the trade partnership that the country has will be, then these tariffs can act as surgical measures that maybe can defend one industry, one product, at least in part, improve part of economic activity. On the other hand, when tariffs are imposed under high uncertainty in a regime in which policy becomes more unpredictable, then these are definitely harmful. Measuring, first of all, the environment, you know, having proxies for the environment in which tariffs are imposed is as important as measuring tariffs and tariff rates per se.
If you're a central banker and you're moving interest rates around, you are very careful to describe what you are doing and why you are doing it, for the very good reason that you want to be credible in what you're doing. As you say, Alfonso, the way that tariff movements have been framed have been anything but, and have given rise to the taco joke, Trump always chickens out. Does this make the way that tariffs are framed in the future, that political framing of them, that description of them, important as a signal to influence the level of trade policy uncertainty?
Yes, definitely. It's interesting that you're raising this point, starting with monetary policy, right? Because this principle, the idea that you want to set interest rates, the monetary policy instrument, if you are a central bank, in a way that shapes expectations of people. So you want to be credible, you want to be transparent, you want to talk about the present, but also about the future. So it's a sort of a fundamental principle that economic theory has established. This is a principle that today, and again, I'm talking about monetary policy, is per se also under attack. So with the new chairman of the Federal Reserve. But the same principle goes for tariffs. I mean, for a long time, the use of tariffs has been largely reduced. So in a stable trade environment, like the one that started at the beginning of the 1990s, tariffs had gone out of fashion as a policy tool. Now that at least with the US, they're now again on the radar of policymakers, these principles whereby if you truly believe that the tariff policy may be shaped to your own benefit, right, by all means, tariffs should be imposed and communicated by enhancing credibility and transparency. But this is a principle that has not applied to the Trump administration. And for some reason, it's sort of spilling over also to monetary policy. So we are seeing a rediscussion of important principles of both monetary and trade policy that we thought were well established in the economics profession.
And you get this result partly because you have been so very careful about what you consider to be uncertainty, the uncertainty that causes this effect. There are many measures of uncertainty that are around which would not capture this effect. Policymakers are going to have to be a little bit more careful in future about how they measure, how they consider uncertainty, so that they can forecast better what's going to happen in the economy when they do make these changes.
Exactly. When uncertainty as today is on the rise, it's especially important to ask ourselves which kind of uncertainty is rising. Uncertainty on what? We define structural trade policy uncertainty, uncertainty that really shifts the path of expectation, is the one that really refers to the trade regime, to stable fundamentals of the trade policy. While there are other kind of uncertainty that are more noise, chit-chat, and all these measures of uncertainty, they all exert different effects on the economy. Choosing the right measure to make the right conditional forecast is crucial. We came up with our proposal of structural trade policy uncertainty, but any measure that really has this feature of taking into account the future development of trade policy and not just focusing on noise at implementation, well, all this measure will stick to the kind of results that we've just described.
Well, it seems it's too much to hope for more certainty at the moment, but at least we can be more accurate about what type of uncertainty that we have, thanks to your work. Thank you very much, Alfonso.
Thank you a lot.
And Tommaso.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper is called Tariffs, Uncertainty and the Exchange Rate. And authors, you've just heard from both of them, Alfonso Merendino and Tommaso Monacelli. It was commissioned for the second Economic Policy Papers on European and Global Issues conference.
This has been a Talk Normal production. Megan Bieber was the assistant producer, and the sound editor was Andrei Zolgaria.